Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Let's get ready to get right into the Word of God. You didn't have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me, St. John's Gospel, chapter 5. St. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want to teach from the subject this morning, coming out of the waiting room. Coming out of the waiting room. And I want to use as a subtopic, God wants you well. Look at your neighbor. Look at someone and just close to you, and just say, God wants you well. Financially, physically, emotionally, socially. God wants you well. And it's time to come out of the waiting room. Coming out of the waiting room. St. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to start reading with verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 10. Now, I want you to understand that when we talk about coming out of the waiting room, God teaches you and I patience. Matter of fact, Hebrews, I think it's chapter 6, verse 11 says, through faith and patience, what? We inherit the promises of God. So we're not talking about things which God has promised you where faith and patience are at work. We're not talking about when we talk about, you know, God don't want you waiting, coming out of the waiting room. We're not talking about that. That's the word of God at work. The Bible says, let patience have what? Her perfect work. Everything is not going to happen overnight. But what we are talking about, when God says he don't want us, you know, want you in the waiting room or waiting for something, he's talking about things that you have the power to initiate change, that you have the power to initiate change. You understand? Things that you can do to initiate change. So I want to make that plain as we read this story. Again, St. John's chapter 5, verse 1. We're reading from the King James. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay what? A great multitude of impotent folks. So we're not talking about 5 or 10 people. We're talking about crowds of people. And he said, of the blind, the halt, the withered, doing what? Waiting. They were waiting for something they had no control over. They could not decide when this water was going to bubble up, when the angel was going to come. And then even if one person did come, or the angel did come, the Bible says it was only one person that could be healed. So it's kind of like a healing lottery. Here you are, got a ticket, and you've been waiting for 20 years to hit the numbers. And only one person can win. He said they was there waiting, sick folks, broken heart, for withered folks, for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, they was made whole, or they was made well, or whatever disease they had. And a certain man which was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. This guy been waiting for 38 years. See, we're not talking about the promises of God. It don't take you 38 years to get healed. It don't take 38 years for God to do anything. So we're talking about things that have been long-seeding conditions, long-seeding deep conditions, that we had a power to change. Yeah, I was thinking about that, 38 years. To bring it into perspective, it's simple math, 38 from 21. 2021 is 2083. This guy started waiting back in 1983. Can you imagine that? On something he had no control over. And it's time to come out of the waiting room. about things you can change. You got to recognize what you have control of and what you don't. And the Bible says this man had been there a long time. And the Bible says he was there for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he knew. God gave him a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. This man had been there a long time. I believe God's going to do some powerful things here this morning. I believe there's a miraculous anointing in the atmosphere. Some things that's been long seating that seem like being held up by the enemy. Stuff that's been put off. You know, the devil, if he can't detour you, he'll try to delay you. Huh? And then if he, with delays come disappointment. But I believe those delays and detours, there are some things that's going to manifest in the spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Long time things. Stuff that you know in the spirit has been prophesied. You got a word on it. You know you should have something by now. You know you should be in that house. You know your business should be followed. I ain't talking about things that the promises of God through faith and prayer. I'm talking about stuff that you know in your spirit. Son, family should have been saved a long time ago. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know it don't take God a long time to do nothing. And so Jesus picked this up. And remember, there's plenty of people there, right? But this guy been there 38 years. I'm not saying he was there the longest, but he probably was. I'm sure everybody knew this guy. For 38 years, you bought on a bed, you lie there, and every day, I'm sure he had made some relationships. And Jesus picked up in the spirit, and when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been there a long time in that case. And he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be well? Now, I mean, 38 years, you know he wants to. Why is Jesus asking this man that's been there every day for 38 years, do you want to be well? It's obvious you want to be well because you got to really want something from God. There are a lot of people that are just playing religion. Desperate people got to be willing to do desperate things. And he's obvious what he's been doing ain't working. This healing lottery ain't working. He ain't got the ticket. Look what he said. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" And he come up with these excuses. Well, the impotent man answered and said, "Well, sir, I have no man." The man is standing right there before you. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. And while I'm coming, another step before me. Even if I go dragging myself before I get 38 years. So here, can you imagine sick folks, withered folks, broken-armed folks? I'm talking about lame folks, blind folks, maimed folks, all around. I mean, this is a sad gathering of people. And he says, while I'm coming, another step down. And Jesus said to him, "Take up your bed and walk." He ain't say nothing about all those excuses. And immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. And watch this. And there was Jews that said unto him that was cured, "It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." Stay sick. Forget about the fact you've been there 38 years waiting on an angel. Forget about that you've been suffering, sick, broke. Like, in other words, instead of glorifying, that's what religion does. It glorifies a day more than the man's healing. So I'm trying to show you, anytime you decide to come up out of the waiting room, there's going to always be somebody going to criticize. Stay sick. Why? We sick, we broke, we in debt. There are people, misery loves company. And so you got to quit worrying about what other people think and whatever, because you are going to have critics. It's amazing. Long as I was on drugs, getting high, breaking in folks' home, almost going to jail before I got saved in 1974, I was okay. It's when I got saved, born again, and decided not to be a religious preacher and start coming against religious tradition, all hell, all of a sudden, this ain't right. That boy crazy. You got to forget about all that. Folks are going to say and criticize you. If you want to get well, you're going to have to quit worrying about what other religious folks think. Talking about you ain't supposed to be walking and carrying your bed on the Sabbath. Well, why didn't y'all get him healed on Wednesday? No power. Folks want you to stay down when they down. And if you still worry about what folks think, you'll never fulfill God's will. You'll go crazy, matter of fact. Can't worry about people. Folks gonna trip regardless. It's their nature. They will switch up on you just like that. In the morning time, Jesus was coming into the Bible says it was a triumphant entry. He was on a donkey, and they got palm leaves, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Here come, before the night was over, it ain't got dark. They were saying, crucify him, the same people. So you're going to come up out of something, sickness, disease, and death. You're going to have to quit worrying about what folks think or going to say about you. In other words, you okay sick, wait till the 39th year. Why don't you do it, get up on the 40th anniversary? Stay miserable another year. Now let's read this from the Amplified, and then we're going to break it down. Because I want you to get the story, then we're going to go through it. Let's do it from the Amplified this time. Later on, there was a Jewish festival feast in which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, a pool near the Sheep Gate, and this pool in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, alcoves, colonnades, doorways. And there lay a great number of sick. Now look at these. So this is some bad cases. Some blind, no vision. Some crippled, couldn't walk out their vision. Some paralyzed, been paralyzed by fear. Shriveled up. So this is not a pretty picture, is it? Waiting, and they are waiting. And only one is like a lottery. Even if the angel do come down, only one can get it. So maybe I get it next year. Maybe I win the lottery next year. Maybe I'm going to buy me some old tickets. How would you love me living a life like that? And in the meantime, you are miserable waiting for the bubbling up of the water. Why? For their angel, the Lord, went down at appointed season into the pool, moved and stirred up the water. And whosoever then was first stirring up the water stepped into a cure and was cured of whatsoever disease which he was afflicted. And there was a certain man that had suffered many deep-seating, long-lingering disorders. See, we ain't talking about the word. We're talking about stuff that you know should have been out of stuff. Come on. And when we're talking about coming up or coming out of the weight room, I'm talking about from drugs, alcohol, sickness, depression, grief, whatever got you down. Been a long time, and you've been hiding it because you've been taught as a Christian you got to say everything is all right. Well, God is going to move on that. But I mean, there's going to be, if you get what I'm saying, it's already happening. Because why? The answer was there. Your answer is here this morning. You ain't got to wait. Jesus is here. He's a very present help at the time. He's trying to get the man to make a decision. The first step of coming out of anything is to decide to. That's why, look what he said. Look what Jesus said. When Jesus noticed him lying there, helpless, 38 years, since 1983, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said, do you want to become well? Now you know he do. Just there's a lot of people want to come out of debt. They want to be free of drugs. They want to get rid of fear and depression. But you got to want it. Jesus is talking about your will got to be involved. That's why my subtopic this one is God wants you well. And I want to remind you, just hold that there. The Bible says he was going through Samaria. Ain't got time to... God is, he's concerned about your condition. Do you, hold on, just let me go back just 1 minute. I want to drive home. Are you really earnest about getting well? He asked him twice. Are you serious? Because some people, they just, well, yeah, I'm hoping. No, I'm talking about, are you tired of sitting there? Are you tired? Are you ready to come up out of the waiting room? Yeah. Are you serious about it? This sickness, this ailment ends today. This addiction is broken today. This fear is getting on me today. This depression. depression is getting, yeah, I lost so-and-so in my life. I lost, there have been people I lost. I lost my brother, you know, when I mean lost, I didn't love, they went to heaven. And there's been grief. And sometimes grief is long. You know, you're still grieving. It's that thing to be broken today. God wants you well, emotionally, physically. Now, keep going. And the invalid answered, sir, I have nobody. When the water's moving to put me into the pool, and while I'm trying to come in myself, somebody else stepped down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, get up! Everyone shout, get up!
Get up!
I don't want to hear nothing about your excuse. As long as you make excuses, you're not ready to change. I don't have a man. And even if I had a man, I try to get in some. I don't have no good Miss Stimulus check. I am single. I was abused when I was 3. And I'm not belittling any of those things. But you got to get up. You're going to have to get up. That's what I'm saying. Come out of that abuse. Come out of the effects of whatever held you down. Pick yourself up. Come up out of depression. God wants you well. Hey, you don't have no control over what other people are doing. The reason a lot of people mess up because they're worried about somebody else, what they're doing, what they say. You got to understand this man had no control over the pool. And Jesus had to shift his focus over what he did have control over to what was standing right. Do you want to get well? Don't worry about nobody else. I'm talking about you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's been 38 years, man. Something got to change. I'm talking to somebody this morning. God came here and said, God, you got to do something today. Because I'm not going another day without him coming up out of the waiting room. He said, pick up your bed, your sleeping pad, and walk. And instantly, man became well, recovered his strength, picked up his bed and walked. But what happened on the Sabbath? And so Jesus kept that. So the Jews kept saying to this man, they ain't saying, man, praise God, you finally got well. You would think they would rejoice. It's the Sabbath. You have no right to pick up your bed. It's not lawful. Put that bed down and be sick again. See, there's always someone wants you to stay miserable with them. Can I go ahead and tell y'all something right now, what Jesus is trying to do and how God wants to use you? Jesus realized, if I can get this one man to get up without getting in the water, I'm going to give everybody in this whole pool hope. Can you imagine that? Here's old Joe. Watching that man get up, he didn't step in water. And he said, wait a minute, 38 years? And there was other sick, lame. There's other people. God want to use you as an example to pick other people up. When you get up, he wants you to pick somebody else up. I know if I was there, I was like, what? Joe, what? Hey, wait a minute. Joe got up. Joe didn't step in no water. There's hope for me. Maybe I can see. Maybe I can come out of that. See, God wants to use your life. That's a testimony that I came up out of my drug addiction. You can be free of it too. I came up out of my depression. Yeah, I lost my husband too, but that grief was broken off of my life. I came up out of my sickness. I would die no good, but I when people see you get up. But the key, do you really want to be well? Because folks won't change until the pain of not changing or the pain of the present pain until it becomes greater than the pain of changing. Because you're already in pain. Some of you have been hiding pain this morning. Hiding stuff. Long, deep-seated stuff that nobody else knew about. And you want to appear like everything is good to everybody else. And you know only you and God know, and God is saying, I want you well. Yeah, you got on clothes. Yeah, you drove up in a nice car. But you're not well emotionally. You're not wealthy. You still got stuff on the inside. You still got issues on the inside. Do you want to be well? Are you worried about what other people going to think about you? Look at someone and say, it's time to come up out of the waiting room. Tell them God wants you well. Why, just so you can watch television without pain? No, so you can be a testimony to somebody else. My God, God got old Ronald Diggs off the streets of High Park. You did? You mean who's on drugs? Yeah, God, if he can bring him out. See, it ain't about you. It's bigger than you. It's the folks on your job. It's the folks in your neighborhood that don't have any hope. And they said, if this man can get up without saying, he's been there 38 years, I can come out of this. I'm going to do something I can't do before. You can have your miracle now. He was waiting on the moving of the water, but all he needed was a word. Instead of waiting on the water, he needed a word. One word from God. Jesus said, get up. And I'm saying to you this morning, get up. Let it go. Come up out of debt. Come up out of depression. Come up out of fear. Stop waiting. Do you really want it? Because you're in pain now. So you might as well do something you couldn't do before. Years, miserable. Lame folks, withered folks, sick folks, depressed folks, folks in debt, folks unhappy, folks in grief. And this morning I hear the word of the Lord. See, you don't need to wait on, you don't need no water, you need a word. He had no control over the water. And even if he did, if he wasn't lucky enough, see, it's like a lottery. And God said, I don't want your life based off of luck. Luck comes from the word Lucifer. And the reason God is against good luck, bad luck, and gambling is because there's always a loser. With Jesus, there's never a loser. And you had a bunch of losers around this pool. Look at your name. Ask someone. I want you to motivate some, provoke them. Say, do you really want to be well? See, there are a lot of folks ain't sick and tired of being sick and tired. First observation statement. Put it up. Just observation. You ever been in the waiting room? You ever had to go to the doctor? Did you notice it was crowded? You might get there early, whether it's waiting room, whether it's for cancer, whether it's your child is sick, or whether it's a waiting room outside of surgery. Most of the time, there's anxiety there. And most of the time, it's crowded. So the first thing we notice, remember, the Bible said there was a crowd around this pool. So then waiting rooms are often crowded places filled with frustrated people who have problems. Waiting rooms, think about it. You know, I go through my Greensboro orthopedic to look at my knees and joints, and I notice there are people with shoulders and operating days, and it ain't really nobody happy out there. There's anxiety. People, you know, got braces on their foot, break, come out, limp, anxiety, especially someone come out crying, and my voice like, God wants to break this frustration off of your life. He's saying, do you want to be well? Come up out of the waiting room. Huh? Come on. Man started making excuses. And Jesus, I like it in here. He said, get up! Statement number two is the first step to coming out. Since we're talking about coming out of the waiting room, here's the first step. Decide to get up and come out of your sickness, depression, grief, addiction, or fear, whatever got you bound. Debt, you can throw debt in there too. Nothing ain't going to happen until you decide. That's what Jesus is trying to do. He'd been there 38 years, but he wasn't serious. That's why Jesus said, do you really want to be well? Are you serious about getting well? Or are you just playing church? Just like if I give an altar call and tell people that God is waiting on you to move, and when you move toward this altar, Jesus had to shift the man's focus. Some of you focus on the wrong thing. He was focused on a well. He was focused on the trouble of the water. When did the angel come? When they did, who will put me in? And notice, he's focused on something he have no control over. You worry about your kid, your husband. You ain't got no control over them. Get your focus back on Christ. That's the first step to coming out of anything, is shifting your focus. Because focus determines reward. Focus determines reward. Because he was focused on the pool, notice up into that point for that, he got no reward. Some of you focusing on the government, focusing on this person, focusing, the devil has distracted you with your husband, wife, depression, a bill, or a doctor's report. And he said, Jesus had to shift the man's focus. I ain't got no one to help me. Look, I don't have a man. He said, look, get up. He shifted his focus. In other words, don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. Get up. If you can't get up, look up. How did he change his? He changed his position. You'll be surprised if you'll just get up. How much better you'll feel. I'll get into this later on, but I'm going to go on and throw this word of wisdom out now. Anything that sit too long will go bad. His legs went bad. He got weaker. He got sicker. He was there too long. Huh? Milk, if it sit too long, even in the fridge, it goes bad. Food will spoil. If you don't never start your car, that battery will go bad. Your body go bad. Just sit down. Sit. If I sat here from now to next week, body, my legs start getting numb. They get stiff. Oh, if you ain't live long enough, just keep sitting. You might be a young chicken now, but some of you know what I'm talking about. Stuff. Let me get up and move around. Some of you can't even sit through the service. You get up, oh, God, time to go home. So anything that sit. And Jesus was trying to get this man up. You feel better when you get up. Wash your face. Put on some clothes. Put on some shoes. Open the curtain. Praise God. Get up. Change your position. Move. Open. In other words, make an effort. If you get up on the inside, you'll stand up on the outside. Arise, shine. Arise from your place of depression. Enough is enough. That's why Jesus kept saying, and I'm sure that man, do I want to be made? Oh, I've been here 38 years. But are you serious? So the first step is decide. You got to make a decision. I'm tired of this debt. I'm tired of worrying about my kid, this man or woman, whoever it is, about to drive. I'm shifting my focus. I can't control what other people do, but I have control over my mind. I'm shifting my focus off that bill. I'm shifting that focus off this death in my family that's causing me this grief, and I've been hiding this depression. Mama's gone now. My brother's gone now. My husband, I got to shift my focus. Because the more I think, I got to shift my focus. I got to decide to come. I'm tired of drug addiction, trying to hide it. Some type of bondage in the flesh. Some type of, you know, addiction in the flesh, trying to hide it. Been too long. Got to shift my focus. It's time to come up out of that. See? But until the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of changing, you won't do nothing. Because you're in pain now, hiding it. You got to get the word. I don't care about the Jews, the religious Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees. I don't care what day it is. If I can get healed on Wednesday, Thursday, Sabbath, or whatever day, I'm getting up. I'll get up on Wednesday if I could have had. I'm sure I ain't going to sit back down because y'all miserable. See, you got to remember the people told him was the Jews, which consisted of the scribes and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe nothing. That's why they was always sad, you see. You got some Sadducees in your family. They want to see you sad too. See, you know what? Let me tell y'all something. Jesus is coming soon. If y'all don't know who I am by now, too late. You miss your opportunity. Because I really don't have time. Not, I mean, if you're a babe, I understand. I'm talking about grown folks. It's amazing how you go, oh, I didn't mean. It's time to just grow up. I guess you need to come up out of offense and unforgiveness. Some of us are still so fickle. Those are the primary things that we should have learned as babes. Children were playing a sandbox and argue over toys and fight. And as soon as it's over, I got the arm around one another. We don't say nothing to me ever here. Job 22:28. I don't get it. You shall what? Also what? What's the first step? Decide. Jesus was trying to bring that man to a decision. See, it looked like he wanted to be healed, but his focus was wrong. He was focusing on something he had no control over, on the water. And said, I had a man, and all the time the man was standing right there. His name is Jesus. Quit putting off your deliverance for an event when the person is already here. Thou shalt decide. And then decree, you got to say it. You got, this is my last day in debt. This is my last day bound by these cigarettes or alcohol or addiction or drugs or pornography or whatever got you. This is my last day being depressed. This is my last day letting this man or woman or that child disturb my peace. I'm putting them in the hands of God. See, because you're the one down. They doing what they want to do. Your child out party. He ain't studying about the pain he causing you. People do what they want to do. And you sitting at home, depressed, stuck in the waiting room. And it shall be established. See, God is saying, if you really serious, and when he said, are you serious about getting well? Okay, say you are. And it shall be, and it was just, and watch this, the light of God's favor. Once you decide, I'll start showing you how you're going to come out. I'll help you break the addiction. I'll help you get over whatever has pained you. Hey, we'll shine upon your ways. But if you don't decide nothing, nothing is going to happen. Huh? His condition wasn't holding him down. His decision was holding him down. That's right, I hot off the press. Why? Because there was other people that had the same condition and worse. So if it was a hole in him down, no one would have ever got up. But he made a decision. And everybody said, oh, my God. All it takes is one. All it takes is one man building a debt-free church. One man paying his bill. All it takes is, that's going to be my example. Because if God can bring him out, he can bring me out. All right. Number two, shifting your focus to Jesus from awful things that you cannot control. It's amazing. Yeah, I used to want everybody to love me, everybody to understand me. I can't control you. You can't even control your doggone self, so I know I can't. You out of control. And when people out of control, they want to control you and manipulate you. That's what anger and all those bipolar, now I ain't going to call them bipolar, that sound too deep, but all of those control emotions are anger. I don't want you to be mad. I don't want her to be mad at me. So what do I do? Hey, you're going to be like that anyhow. You ain't going to control me. Or sad, tears. You just don't care. Oh, yes. Now, see, emotion. There's a cute word I'm calling to control, but it's a heavy word called witchcraft. Controlling spirit. And so what you're going to have to do is realize stuff you have don't have control over. I ain't got control over. People going to think about me what they want. So I can't lose sleep. I got to go home, make me a bologna sandwich, and give me some Kool-Aid and watch NFL football. Why? Well, didn't you see how so-and-so was looking? No, I never seen him. God told me don't be afraid of the people's faces. I let that stuff go years ago. But some of you still, you can't be happy because you think it's your responsibility to keep someone else happy who ain't going to never be happy no how. What you do? Well, if you do this, I'll be happy. If you had more money, I'd be happy. If we had a bigger house, well, we didn't got all that and you still the devil. So stop, shift your focus off to Jesus from stuff you have no control over. That man didn't have no control over that pool when the angel was going to come. What day is it going to be? January? Oh, no, February. Oh, no, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, December. You don't know. He had no control. Waiting. But I do have control over me and what I'm going to do. Quit worrying about what you don't have. And concentrate on what you do have. I ain't got no money. Well, what's that in your hand, Moses? Hebrews 12:2. Jesus shift the man focus. That's how he got him up. You ain't going to never get up and come out of nothing until you shift your focus off of people and stuff and situations you have no control over. Well, fellas and sisters said they don't like you, Pastor Dave. Listen, man, folks start talking about me 9 months before I was born, and they've been talking ever since. You hear Claire Day spreading. So I ain't got time for that. But listen, you got to set your face like Finn. See, when you got purpose, that stuff is trivial. I'm a man of purpose, souls, lives, standing, stuff that really count. Why? That's what Jesus did. You know why Jesus went to the cross? The Bible says he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That's why he could go through the spirit, the pain. He was focused. And all that other stuff in his body was a distraction. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who started this in me. You didn't know me before. He knew me first. Matter of fact, he knew me before my mama knew me. He said, I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. I put the gift, I put the talent, I put the mind you got, the whole script. That's my character. You're a gift to me. Don't you never lose your focus now that I've saved you. Folks that started with you won't be there, but what I start, I'll finish. I mean, you want folks to come with you, that's your goal. But if not, why, we got to come up out of the waiting room. When you want something for God, you ain't got time for distraction. You ain't got time for trivial foolishness and folks that refuse to grow up. Listen, man, this is a time-sensitive issue. We are right at we're not in the last day. We're in the last hour. And we've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And there are certain things, if you miss your time and you miss God for that, you can't go back. So you got to shift your focus. Jesus shifted your man focus. All of it, like 38 years, the angel, the water, the angel, the water. Jesus said, change your position. Shift your focus. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. He was waiting on the water to move, but he didn't need water to move. He needed a word from God. See, it's time to stop waiting on events and this and the government and so so-and-so when they did this and all these, all the stars align right, and you need to start acting on the word what you already have. Mm-hmm. Someone said, what is wrong with Pastor Dad? Oh, it's good. I ain't coming back. If you don't like this version, it'll only get better. Because I sense the return of Jesus on us. And I got to get the church ready, man. I got something bigger. There's bigger fish to fry. Everybody ain't going to love you. You're going to have haters. Jesus had them right up to the cross. But he also had an inner circle of people that would not forsake him, even though all doesn't forsake him. There were some that stood there and took the cloth and washed the blood off of his stripes. As long as it's fair weather, it ain't no crucifixion. Hey, Jesus, I'm with you. Peter thought until them sores and spears came out. He went to cussing and swearing. See, you don't need your closest people cussing you out when you need them most. Because he looked like he in trouble. Let me make some more statements here. So this man was waiting on a healing lottery. Focus, determined reward. So he got no reward because he was focused on wrong things. Some of you focus on that. Your reward is going to come from God. And at the end, it's going to be him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. My reward will come from him. Now I want y'all guys to love me. And really, you should love me because this has been some good doggone teaching and preaching. Because you know how I know it's good? Because it's challenging you to shift your position. It is either going to draw you or drive you. Either you're going to get one and say, my God, I got to come up. Or you're going to say, it don't take all that. Why? Because you love the old. And that's what Jesus said. No man want to immediately taste new wine. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. They say the old is better. I like the old way. I like when Pastor Jay, you know, he teach with all this stuff in your face and all this. I know. That just means you don't want to change. He said, you can't put new wine and old wineskins. He's talking about your life. You got to step up. You got to say, I got to change. This vessel got to change. I got to change how I think. Okay, Jesus knew then if one man got up, the whole crowd would have hope. See, I said that earlier, and I'm coming back. If you can just get one. God says, I'm going to get that. I chose the foolish thing. If I just get that Diggs boy over to Andrews High School, because everybody in the city know he crazy. And I love to take the foolish thing. Everybody know about that boy. He been suspended from school. They talking about him here. The church his mama go to, they were calling my mama, Miss Diggs, you need to do something with your son. He's in the street. Everybody, but God says, give me that piece of clay. I'll use it. See, God goes after the hard cases. He said, I'm going to get the guy who's been here for 38 years because everybody had to know him. And if I can get him up without getting in that water, it's going to give hope to every lame, halt, every person in debt, every person in prayer. If I can change you, see, because notice he said, take up your bed and do what? So what God is saying, the thing that you used to, that carry you, you gonna carry. Y'all didn't hear that. The thing that used to carry you, you gonna carry. You gonna take up your bed, and when you walk back in town, use that bed as a trophy. Look at me now. I was 38 years, but look, if God did it for me, he can do it. The thing that you used to, that carry you, you gonna carry. Shut up, my time. Do you want to be welcome? Let me tell you. The miracle's going to happen here. I'm talking about folks that said, that is it. I don't care what anybody think about me. This deep thing that's been in me, this is my one opportunity. God is shining a light on me, and I'm not leaving here without a change in my life. I'm going to be just like Jacob. I'm tired of being a deceiver and trickster. If I have to wrestle with the angel, even if it throw my side of joint, he said, let me go. He said, I won't let you go. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of living like this. He said, what do you want? Change my name. Sometimes you have to wrestle. Finally, the angels told him, said, you've gone from Jacob to Israel, your prince with God. But he wanted it bad. And some of you ain't wanted it bad enough. You made excuses about how you are and how you and what they did and all of this stuff. But today, you're coming out of the waiting room. You in the balcony, you're coming out of your depression, debt, say anything that held you down, but you gotta want it. Real bad. So Jesus knew, if I got this one man up, I'm going to give hope to everybody. Whew. There are people, schoolmates, who see me today. It's the only reason I can say it because of you, man. You were the hard case. I mean, you were the nut on top of the, you know, we got a person in our congregation. He might be here, he may not be here, and name a nut. I don't know if that came to church today, but I was the real nut. People knew it. God says, we can get that nut. It'll give everybody hope. Luke 22, 32. Remember Peter? Huh? See, notice when he got up, what you think he did? Everybody. He began to preach to everybody. He said, now take up your bed and use us as a trophy. And go preach to these other blind, lost people. Look, what I didn't get in the water. I got out of debt. I didn't get in the water. I came out of depression. I didn't get in the water. I broke my addiction. What are you struggling with? He said, Jesus talking about Peter, he said, but I especially pray for you, Peter, that your own faith fail not. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Why? Because when yourself is turned and been converted, see, guess what? Why God changes up. He says, strengthen and establish your brother. If you can change and be converted, then you can change your brother. You can change your sin. You can change folks on your job. You can change folks in your family. And God is looking, will you be the one? But do you still want to play perfect? You know how we are. Well. Now, we ain't talking about, that's mental sickness, emotional sickness, anger, there's all types of sicknesses in people. Soul sickness. God says, I'm talking about the deep-seated stuff. I'm talking about the root stuff that you've been covering up and hiding for years that only I can heal. Or do you want to keep staying in the waiting room? See, the only one that can give you permission to come out of the waiting room is Jesus. That don't mean you don't have to never go to the doctor. It just means once Jesus gives you permission, you ain't gonna ask nobody else. Peter, Lord, if it be thee, came walking on the water. He said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. And when Jesus said come, when you get Jesus' permission, he's telling you to come out. You ain't gotta wait on nobody else, sister, husband, wife. Jesus said, you know, Peter didn't go, Thomas, do you mind if I step out of boat for a few minutes? Quit waiting on other people's permission. God, see you waiting on. Shut up. Yeah. Okay. You want to try another one? God gives you more on the journey than before you ever take a step. See, you're waiting for everything to come in. When God called me to pastor, I didn't go, well, Lord, when you give me a building, I just said, okay, God, I'll do it. And where you want me to go? Go to the YMCA room. And when I start doing that, people start calling. This is how you establish a church. This is how you get your, you know, incorporated. This chair start coming in. I mean, nothing happened until Abraham took a step. Then God began to move. Come on. Joseph took a step. Then he began to move toward the power. See, we're waiting for the perfect job, the perfect scenario. God says, I want you to initiate. Change your position. The man was lying there. If you can't get up, look up. And I'll give you more. Are you listening? On the journey. When you obey me, my faith, you got the word, act on it. The greatest courses in life is not learned in the course, but on the course. When I stepped out, land began to come. Buildings, camera, more and more. Because I decided to change my position. Remember, I taught y'all this 2 weeks ago. There's three positions where you are facing the enemy. Fight, flight, and freeze. And the devil don't mind you running or freezing because ain't nothing gonna happen. But the minute you say I'm gonna fight the fight of faith, you'll find God will give you more. God will give you more. I'm gonna fight the fight. God called me the pastor. So it's gotta be someone out there to help me. Oh, here's the building. Oh, here's the land. Oh, there's the people. Here come the equipment. God gives you more on the journey, but I had to change my position. When the man got up in his mind, he said, you ain't got the strength. But it had to be power in those words. Get up. They had to be anointed. He sent his word in it. The strength came from the word. And you're waiting on the water, and you already got the word. You're waiting on the government. You already got the word. So those words went in his body. And his ankle bones began to pop. And strength and energy went in him. He said, now the thing you've been carrying, that's been carrying you, you about to carry. You're not helpless. Start acting like you're already out of the waiting room. Start planning like you're already out. That don't mean go borrow. It just means, okay, I'm getting ready for this. I'm going to get my room because God promised me this house. I'm going to act like I'm already out. I'm going to start talking like I'm already out. I'm going to start thinking like I'm already out. I'm not a man in debt. Thank God I'm a giver. I got seed in the ground. I'm going to start talking, acting like I'm already healed. I might be in the bed now, but I'm shining my shoes. I'm going to walk again. Start doing something toward that direction. And God will give you more. Instead of just freezing. Fear freezes. What if? I want y'all to turn with this one. Turn with me in your Bibles. I hope you done wrote that down to Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Turn in your Bibles. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Anybody get anything this morning? It's time to come out of the waiting room. Sickness, disease, prayer. Whatever have held you down, back, bound that deep-seated stuff. You have your Bibles? Look what it says. I'm going to show you the principle about God. God will give you more on the journey than before you take a step. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse, what'd I say? 11. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass as they journeyed from Jerusalem. Watch this. Here you go again. He passed through the midst of what? Samaria. How many of you know what Samaritans was considered? Come on, Bible scholars. Say it. You're right. I heard someone say it sounded. They was considered what? Dogs. Not covenant people. I'm trying to show you God will what the world don't want, That's what God's looking for. He's passing through Samaria. He didn't go, oh, shoot, there's Samaria. They ain't got no covenant. You remember the woman? Huh? The Samaritan woman? That's why she said, it's not good that you should give the children's bread to dogs. She was a Samaritan. And she didn't deny. She said, whoop, whoop. Yeah, I'm a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. For that saying, you're healed. You understand? God ain't overlooking nobody. He's passing through Samaria. That's where you were, by the way.
Yes,
come on, don't be talking about, Now, you were that dog. Lassie, Rin, Tin, Tin, and everybody. Okay. Watch this. The Bible says, oh, Lord, let me move on. He says he passed through the midst of Samaria. Why? He's looking for somebody. Just like he was looking for that man at that pool. And he entered into a certain village. And they met him 10 lepers, which stood afar. Why are they standing afar? They got leprosy, infectious disease, blood oozing, body exposed, oozing, part of missing fingers, missing part of bones and fingers and jaws and stuff. And they had these sheets over them. They had to stand outside of the city. And the Bible says they stood afar off. Watch this, but notice what they said. And they lifted up their voice and said, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, all he did was gave them a word. All he did was gave them a word. Go show yourselves to the priest. Look at me. Go show yourselves to the priest. Hold that right there. Go show yourself. Now, he was putting in motion what was called the law of the leper, which is in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, that said when a man was cleansed, he would go show himself to the priest. And the priest would take him and sprinkle him, and he'll go through this ceremony and take him back into the community and declare this man is clean and put him back in his family. He was reintroduced to society. And what Jesus was saying is, now when he told them that, they had leprosy in their body. He didn't say, I'm going to lay my hands on you to be clean. He gave them a word. He sent his word and healed them. The word is quick and powerful. The word has the power in it to bring his own self to pass. No word from God is void of power. That's why when Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. I never heard about immaculate conception, a baby being born. But if God says I'm going to have a baby, the word of God became flesh and went in the womb. The word of getting your flesh and what Jesus is saying, you're already healed. They could have said, oh man, if we go in the city, they're going to stone us. Oh my God, look at that. That's why you got to walk by faith and not by sight. He's trying to get them to act on what he's already said. Take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. As you obey God, as you decide to come up. See, God gives you more on the journey before you take the first step. They start walking to, I don't know how close, could have been a mile, could have been a half mile, could have been 2 miles, I don't know, but somewhere and acting on it, I'm clean. That means I'm clean. Now, if it don't manifest, they can kill me. But Jesus said, just go myself to the priest. So that must mean he see me clean. And as they went, bam, as you come up out of the waiting room, do something you couldn't do before. Quit concentrating on what you don't have and concentrate on what you do have. Quit talking about what you can't do. What can you do? Well, I can wiggle my toe and do something. And as you come out, power of God is waiting on you this morning. Your deliverance is waiting on you. That stronghold can be broken. But he said, as. Keep going. One of them who saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorified God. Never fail to give God the glory. I said, never forget again. Some of you done forgot about how good God done been. You didn't have leprosy, but you had sin, and it was just like leprosy. You were thinking to rise no more. Some of you got a pump, push, pine. Somebody pray the Lord. Somebody pray the Lord. Why somebody got to tell you to do anything? God been good to you. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. You ain't got that. My will. My will is in the. God been good to me. You see this suit I got on? God gave it to me. You see that car there? God gave it. You see that house I'm going on? God gave it to me. And I'm never going to fail to forget where I had it not been for the Lord on my side. But we, you know, we kind of, you know, oh, well, I've made it now. I've arrived. I've moved on up to the east side to apartment in the sky high. I ain't with George Jefferson now. All respect to George, but he did. He fell down and said, this ain't right. I'm going to give him that. And he was a Samaritan. Not God's chosen people. Not God's people who knew the Bible. This was somebody said, this ain't right. A minute ago, before I received the word, I was on my deathbed. And because God told me I could come up out of the waiting room, I've been waiting for years on this. It ain't right for me to go home and sit down like nothing has happened in my life. I might not know the man. I might not belong to them church folk. I might not know about where I don't have the Bible, but I do know I was once blind. Now I was see. I had left. Now I'm healed. Now notice this. And Jesus answered and said, well, we're not there 10. We're not that. That means there's probably one out of every 10 people that really give God the glory. We're not there 10. Didn't I do something for somebody else in here? Didn't I bless her with a car? Didn't I? We're not there 10. Where didn't I give them a house? Didn't I heal them? Didn't I save their children? Didn't I? We're not there 10. You mean that's the only one? Where are the nine? They were not found to return to give glory to God, except this stranger. But what's the difference? And he said to this man, you go your way, your faith has made you whole. They just got healed. But they still got financial problems. They still got mental problems. See, they ain't well. We all still on the subject. God wants you well. They ain't really well. They still got strife. They still got unforgiveness. They still got debt. They still got confusion. But your faith has made you whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Your finances are coming back. Your relationships come back. Your peace is coming back. Your home, anything that you've been lost is coming back. Just because you did not fail to give me the glory that's due me. Just because you took the time to praise me. Not only are you healed, when you get home, you're going to find your debt being canceled. When you get home, you're going to find your children intact. When you get home, you're going to find your wife restored. When you get home, you're going to find nothing missing, nothing broken. Is there anybody here that have made up their mind it's time to give God the glory? Even in a pandemic, Lord, I can thank you because I'm still here. Out of only 700,000 people that have died and lost their lives and people that are hooked up to ventilators, thank God through it all. Me and my children, you blessed us to rise this morning. And I don't need nothing bad to happen for me to realize I need to give you the glory. You've been good to me. Other people that went in when I went in didn't come out the hospital, but you raised me up. And when I was a sinner on drugs and alcohol and pills and partying in the club, you had mercy on me. And one day you looked beyond my fault and saw my need, said, give me that piece of clay, I'll use it. And you picked me up out of the miry clay. You put a song in my mouth, a dance in my feet. And I'm going to give you the glory. It's time to come out of the waiting room. God wants you well. Be seated. Be seated. See, some of you want to be so sedated now. Because you didn't get your clothes from Walmart. There ain't nothing wrong with Walmart. You got a suit, a designer suit, a designer pocket, and we kind of, you know. Better than cross them legs and get ugly for Jesus like you used to. Come on. I ain't going to mess with you. But you didn't always have them eyelashes you got on. And then Miss Stencher, there was a time you had a Jerry Carroll and you just go, hallelujah, hallelujah, shame, but now God been good. I ain't gonna go there. Don't get mad at me. I believe in self-help. You look good. But you ain't always looked that way. That's all I'm trying to say. Go back and look at some of the pictures. Give God some glory up in here. You didn't always drive the car that you got out in the parking lot. That ain't what you started out with. And it was the Lord that gave you the power to get well. It was the Lord that gave you the promotion. It was the Lord that gave you the favor. Whew! Glory! Ain't it good we ain't stuck in a pandemic anymore? Ain't it good to be back in the light? You that are home, start doing something you couldn't do before. Get up off that couch. Rise. Claim your healing. Move toward God. I got close. All right. Put up my next statement. All right. Anything then. I made this, so let's talk about it. See, God don't want you sitting in defeat. Anything that sits too long will what? Take up your bed and walk. Move toward God. Don't sit there in defeat, feeling depressed, sit there in debt, sit there like you ain't got no answer, sit there like God. No, you'll go bad. Just think, be honest. You might have had a challenge coming to church this morning, but don't you just feel better now that you got up? Take a hot shower. You know, thank God I came, because I'm ready for the challenge now. I got a word from God. I ain't got weight anymore. Anything that sits too long will go bad. We talked about that, milk. Let it sit for 2 months and then talk about you going to drink it. That's why it's called an expiration. Food, same way. Even food you can put in your refrigerator. I ain't talking about food that you leave out. There are certain things will go bad. It'll start stinking your refrigerator. It's been 3 months and you still talking leftover. You going to get food poisoning, salmon down. You better let that stuff go. Still trying to ration off of that. Car battery. Your body. We talked about that. Sit down. That's why some of you can't wait to get up right now. Some of you have been shaking stuff since you've been hearing me preach. Something going bad. Dog, I can't feel much. Jeez. And others of you just going, and some of you ain't going back, you're just going to sleep. But anyway, that's another type of bad. Turn with me to 2 Kings as we get ready to close, chapter 7, verse 1. So God is trying to get you up. It's time to come up out of the waiting room. You that are home, it's time to come up out of the waiting room. Get up off that couch. Take a shower. Amen. Brush your teeth. Shave. How many talking about you streaming? Say, you ain't really. You're done. Come on, get up. Get up. You feel better when you get up. Get up. Get up. Get yourself up. Move. Start walking around the house. Go to track. Dude, you just feel better. Come on, you feel better. Circulation get to going. Get up. Get yourself up. Dress up. You need to hold up something, strap it up. But get up. Just get up. Now keep going. Just get up. Everything won't stay by itself. So... Oh, Lord, have mercy. No, he did. Yes, I did. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Come on. 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7. Anybody getting delivered? Let's close with this. 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, there had been a famine in the land. You know this. terrible famine. They was eating one another's kids. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet in the midst of crisis and said, tomorrow this time they had besieged Syria, had Samaria. And there was a famine and people were dying. And there was cut off, no food. Now they were eating one another's kids. And yet in the midst of the crisis, God sends the word to Elijah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow in 24 hours, I'm trying to show you between today and tomorrow, when you move toward God, I ain't going to have you go. This altar is going to represent your point of contact. Because I know we ain't going to lay hands. I know, but you got, yeah, I want you to get, when you get up. Now, I don't want you just getting up just because you done heard him and trying something. I'm talking about folks that something, it ain't even about sickness and disease. It can be unforgiving. It can be something deep-seated. It can be hurt. It can be grief. It can be sorrow. It can be whatever. I ain't going to question you. But if you sit there, ain't nothing going to happen. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus, tomorrow this time, there's going to be a measure of flour sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. There's change coming. But you, in order to shift your focus, you got to change your position. Go to verse 3. And there was four lepers. There's no leper. We can learn something from the lepers. Men at the entering of the gate who say, you know what? Why sit we here till we die? We got leprosy. We're going to die anyway. Huh? But why sit here? Why not do nothing? The man of God said, tomorrow, this time, there's going to be food. So you know what? They begin to rationale. Look at their thinking. Well, if we say we were into the city, well, the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. So we're going to die. If we sit here, we still die. See, anything that sit too long go bad. Devil wants some of you to feel hopeless, like that man at that pool of Bethesda. And he said, but if we die also, he said, but now therefore come, let us go to the host of Syria, and they might save us alive, or they might kill us, and we shall die. But we know we don't do nothing, we're going to die. And this is what I like. They rose up in the twilight, the darkest part of your life, and went into the camp of the Syrians, and they came to uttermost parts of the Syria. Behold, there was no man. Why? Because they did something. God always give you more what on the journey than before your first step. For the Lord made the host of the Syrian hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the horses of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tent and their horses and asses and food and everything. And they fled for life. And when they come across the hill, they found food, clothing, everything. They were delivered. Why? Because four lepers made a decision. I'm not going to sit here till I die. I'm coming out of the waiting room. Why am I just going to sit here and do nothing? If I just move toward God, if I change my position, if I just act in faith. See, put up my kiddie scripture. I'm through. See, some of you doing that. Well, I got this. The doctor said that. I've been depressed. I lost this. Come up out of the waiting room. They said, I ain't waiting no longer. I'm going to do something. You'll be surprised what God will make sound like in the spirit to your enemies when you move in faith. Why? The Bible says, talk no more exceedingly proud and let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. When God see you moving, take up your bed and walk, trying to do something. Actually, God says, I'm waiting on you to act. The minute you get up,